Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 84.
84.
My name is Chris, and this is my co-host, Honey Mustard.
What's happening? Ah, you're an asshole. Oh, you've been holding that back. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That'll be a different story for a different time. Maybe that'll be a an after show. I mean a ex overtime, whatever we call it.
Yeah. Holy shit. Overtime. I'm not ready for that.
I'm sorry.
I love it.
I want you to put your hands together. There goes to the neighborhood. And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause. There goes to the neighborhood.
Anyway, we are back. We had a couple weeks off, and that was nobody's fault. It was just
that's right.
One week you had something going on. Last week I had something going on. Anyway, so we're back, and before we get started, let me mention this again, so I don't have to rearrange it this time. We're gonna start live again.
Yes, we are.
We're gonna do a live show, with Chad and people calling in. Or
so exciting.
Or whatever, you know, maybe it's getting on Discord, but calling in essentially. And we're going to try that and figure it out. Also, I'm glad you mentioned Dunkin' Egg because we need to find out that schedule.
Yes, we do.
And get back on that Sunday night thing. Great news that I forgot to tell you, my new schedule, I'm off Mondays. So I don't know if you can work something out.
Ass. That is good.
Yeah, I went to four-day weeks all the way until, when is it, September? Yeah, they say offered 4 day weeks because it's the slow time. It's called lock in. So I get a lot of time off. I can take a lot of BTO, but now my regular work week is Tuesday through Friday. So awesome for that for me.
That is awesome.
So maybe we can get back to something there and figure out like what's the best day for that call in show.
Yeah. And if we don't have to work Mondays, mm-hmm. man, you don't feel so bank a couple.
Yeah, that too.
That would be cool.
That too. You don't feel so rushed.
Yeah,
because I know how it is. You know, and especially you got to drive home and all that stuff.
Thanks
too.
For being with us. We're out of here.
Yeah, but all right. Well, have a good one.
Yeah.
No, we want to talk about. we did a podcast on this before, right?
Yes.
Or is this one of those things we talked about?
No,
we thought we did.
I think we did.
Okay.
It was. I think we combined this one and.
Yes.
The
other one.
Secret.
The Secret, yes. Treasure Hunts.
Yes.
Because there's a new documentary out on Netflix. So Forrest Fenn, and we talked about this. It's been probably 5 years.
I'd say.
At least.
Yeah.
So this guy, the basic story of this is, you know, this old man, Forrest Fenn, he was cool, super cool dude. He was a World War II vet, pilot, got shot down twice. Avid outdoorsman. He went out to Yellowstone and is out in the Rockies, and he was a huge, you know, fly fisherman.
Yep.
Avid outdoorsman, all that stuff. Super cool dude, and his interviews are outstanding. I love to hear him talk. He sounds just like George W. Bush.
Yes, he
sounds
does.
Just like him. Anyway, super cool old dude, and his whole thing was the story was so cool because he had kidney cancer. If you remember, I believe it's kidney cancer. And he was going to go out, and he was kind of prerequisite to that. He was a huge artifact collector, so he had money because he had Native American artifacts, Indian artifacts. He had gold and silver and
like enough to stock a museum.
Yeah, it was like his house was a fucking museum.
Yes.
Out in New Mexico. He lived in Santa Fe, where George R. R. Martin lives.
Really?
Santa Fe, New Mexico. Yep. So he had money, obviously had been a collector for many, many years. He was 80 years old. Right before that, a few years, he was supposed to die. They told him, you got 3 to 6 months, whatever it was, maybe a year. His plan was to go out to his favorite spot in Yellowstone and take this box of treasure, literal treasure, and I mean a copper box that had gold and silver and gemstones and trinkets and artifacts and all this stuff, you know, $1.3 million at that time with gold, and literally lay on this box and die out in the place he loved.
That's right.
And I love the way he puts this. If you remember, we talked about in the original podcast, is he said, the problem was I got better. He said, this is a cool story. So he said, well, I'm going to live now. I can still bury the treasure. Well, he didn't say bury. I'm saying bury. He never said he buried this treasure. He just put it out there. And so he puts this treasure out there where he had planned on going to die, and he wrote this book. This is, it's a long memoir about him and his past, and it's really cool if you read some of it, because I did read a lot of this. I don't have the book, but I read a lot of the excerpts and stuff online. You can see the whole thing. Because it was expensive. It was like a $90 book. It was thick, hardcover. This dude went and sold this at one bookstore for a while.
Uh-huh.
That local Santa Fe bookstore.
That's right.
The lady sold it for him. And anyway, it had this poem. And he wrote that poem, and that led you to the treasure. And he announced it essentially through that book, and it became this phenomenon for a while where they say over 350,000 people went out looking for this. Yellowstone never,
yeah.
had never seen anything like it with traffic. And the problem was, of course, is a lot of people had never even been camping. And you're going into Yellowstone
right.
in the wild.
And well, he just said it was in the Rockies.
Right.
Not
his
just
only
Yellowstone.
Clue was it's somewhere in the Rockies north of Santa Fe. That was literally the only clue at the time.
Dude, yes. People were going out there dressed like from where they're from.
Yes, yes. And just thinking I'm going to be out here for a day.
Yes.
You had people going out there in shorts and snow. You had people going and trying to cross dangerous rivers. There's grizzly bears. There's snakes. I mean, this is the real wild. This ain't your backyard where you're from, where you can go out in the woods and there's a couple squirrels running around and some maybe a deer.
That's right.
This is the fucking Rockies. Dangerous, dangerous place, but gorgeous, obviously. Anyway, 10 years, this box laid out there. And again, it is an actual copper box. Had big gold nuggets and coins and, like I said, gemstones and diamonds and emeralds and Indian artifacts and all that stuff. 10 years it took, and somebody finally found the shit. And it was all confirmed. It was found. A lot of conspiracy theories popped up from that, like, oh, because the people had died. There had been five people
I'm
that
sorry.
Died.
I finally found it.
Yeah, yeah.
I have been searching this whole time, scrolling. It's episode 32.
Which
the secret?
Oh, the secret!
A treasure hunt and the Forest Fenn treasure.
That's 32. So wow.
Yeah, look at us sitting in your old living room.
Oh, that was the old living room.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
So yeah, we go back and watch that one.
Yeah, we were. Minutes. That was just literally 32 weeks into this. Then
wow,
we were back then. We were doing them every single week because we lived together.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, 10 years it took, and finally this dude found it. The thing about Forrest Fenn was he would respond in emails every day. He'd respond to everybody.
Anybody that he would stay up late at night, his daughter said.
He's 90 years old. Yeah, he was
80 when he buried it, right?
80 when he took it out there. And so he had always said from the get-go, don't do anything an 80-year-old man couldn't do. That was, you know, and just read the poem. You don't need anything else. There's no other clues. Just read the poem a few times. You got to get boots on the ground.
And
that was the only rules.
This new Netflix docuseries, it focuses on like three or four of the people searching
yes.
for it. And this one young guy, he was like Chris said, the book was expensive. And he went
to the library.
To the library and was like gonna copy the poem, and hell, the lady was nice about it, and he just sat there and copied the whole damn book.
The whole book.
And these people, I don't know. It focuses on three or four people who, after the first clue, are certain they know
absolutely
where to
certain.
Start. And
absolutely
they're starting
certain.
In like three different states.
Three different states,
yeah.
Literally.
It's crazy.
I mean, some people were literally like north of Santa Fe, so they started really close, like mm-hmm. that lady. And that lady got super close to him.
She did.
I think it was kind of a young female friend.
That's what I thought.
And I know yep. he was married, but I don't know if his wife had died. I don't remember.
It felt that way.
Felt that way. I think maybe so. Anyway, so he took this thing out there when he was 80 years old, and it took him three trips
yep.
because it was so heavy. You know, if anything about gold, it's 19 technically times heavier than water. So when you have a little piece of gold, it's heavy. You can feel it. An ounce of gold is heavy. So anyway, he put this out there, and it kind of became a national thing. He was doing interviews on like Good Morning America and everything.
Yeah.
And these local stations, he would do an interview like every week.
Yep.
And he would actually drop a few little like really, really vague clues here and there.
Right.
The only other one I can remember off the top of my head was it's somewhere above 5,000 feet and below 10,200.
Yes. Yep.
That was like it. And it was like, why 10,200?
Yeah.
You know? So people analyzed his interviews, all this kind of stuff, and turns out,
like, seriously analyzed, like facial recognition software type stuff.
This dude was smart, and he was the one that was close. And I love the redneck family. I mean, I love their story. I think they were absolutely not anywhere close.
I know
they had no idea about like what the map actually or the poem actually led them, but I love the story of that.
Great story.
Brought their family together, but also kind of left your wife for it too.
Yeah.
So people were obsessed with this stuff.
They stayed out there, 2 months straight one time?
Well, I think it was almost 2 years total, but they were out there months and months.
Without coming back home, camping.
Correct.
And freezing, they said, wearing Dorito bags on her feet.
And she hated it. And his thing was, I'm doing it for you.
Yeah. I understood that.
I get that. But at the same time, I also understood.
You can't neglect her.
You can't. And she had a daughter with Down syndrome.
That's right.
So anyway, it follows them, this group, the cool rednecks. It follows the young kind of guy that was a techie guy, nerd. He did that facial recognition software.
Guy.
And then it followed a guy who was a pilot. Mm-hmm. He kind of came in a little bit later.
He did.
And then the lady we were talking about that met Forrest Finn, and then he started kind of gotten close to him, and he would invite her over, and he never told her anything. And obviously, she didn't find it. She wasn't really close either.
She starts out with her saying, you know, I'm a retired architect.
Yeah.
I can solve puzzles. Like, I solve problems. That's what I did.
That's what
for
I
living.
Did. And she wasn't even close
either. No. And even being like right up next to him on the couch and talking intimately with him.
Well, I tell you
what, he was really tight lipped. Made me appreciate him even more.
I want to read the poem. Just for the backstory.
That sounds good.
Because it's let me get the actual poem here. Because it is, you got to think about it. This is the Rocky fucking Mountains.
I think I have it memorized.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what we got here.
It's one that operil with his sure suta, the druth of March hath pierced to the ruta, and bothered every vein in sweet liqueur. Of which virtue and tindred is the... I can't remember.
Very close.
Fuck.
Very close.
I can't remember.
I want the knife.
Yeah.
Please.
I fucking remember the Ides of March. Damn it.
We ain't found shit. All right, hold on. Let me read this poem. Let me pull it up. I thought it was on that page. But just imagine this. The reason I want to read it, because imagine this and the entirety of the Rocky Mountains. Like, how many places this could be. That's
I kept trying to explain to my son.
Correct.
Like, dead, like, think about that.
Yes.
You got this little 10x10x4 box.
Like, exactly. It was a small copper box.
A grain of rice in a football field or something, they said.
Exactly. Okay, here's the original poem. And I want to read this just for that context. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what's going on now. We got a little shocker with the documentary. Okay. He said he changed this a million times. Like, he would reword things because he had all these interviews he did. As I've gone alone in there and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secret where a hint of riches new and old. Begin it where warm waters halt and to take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk, put in below the home of Brown. From there, it is no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There is no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and water high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down, your quest to cease, but tarry scant with marvel gaze, just take the chest and go in peace. So why is it I must go and leave my trove for all to seek? The answer I already know, I'm done, I've done it tired and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good, your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold. A very cool poem, by the way.
Go back to that one part where it says, where the warm waters end.
Yeah, begin it where warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down.
Take it in canyon down.
Yeah.
A guy came out there and bought a Walmart raft.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Blow up inflatable raft, took his little precious dog with him.
Yes, a little
and
tiny
he
dog.
He thought that meant, because it says too far to walk or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He thought that meant get on this raft and go down the river. And it was white waters at that time. I think they had some rain or something.
Yes.
Anyway,
this is an unskilled, non-outdoor dude. He went to got a Walmart raft and tried to get in a Yellowstone River.
And that's just so sad.
And that was the controversy, right? Because, and they talk about this in the documentary.
They found the dog, people, by the way.
They did, alive.
I know our viewers love that.
Yes, they found the dog. They did find him later. Five people died, and there was all the calls to call it off. And the first couple, he were like, he pretty steadfast, like, look, these are adults. He said clearly in his defense, don't do anything an 80-year-old man couldn't do.
And that's
this
right.
is what I kept saying the whole time. I was kind of yelling at the screen. Because you feel bad for him, and accidents happen. But like
people were rappelling down with two short ropes and stuff.
Right, yeah. They would try to go in the Grand Canyon with two short
Jeez
ropes.
Jeez Louise.
And it's like, 80-year-old dudes don't...
He's not going to do that.
...rappel.
Right.
He told you this a million times in these interviews, and he said straight up, you don't have to know history, you just need the poem. Now, you may get some insight about my life from the book, but you don't have to have the book.
Yeah,
the
he made that online. Clear. He sure did.
Clear as day. Anyway, so lots of calls for people to call it off and, you know, just end it, just go get it or whatever it is. Some people said he never had it out there. There was all kind of conspiracies about it.
A local county sheriff or somebody actually got involved.
Yeah.
And they went back and forth a few times.
Yeah.
And Forrest stood his ground. He was really tempted, they said.
Yeah.
But he stood his ground. And he said, Americans should
not. Yeah. He said, you're going out to the wilds. Americans shouldn't have to be told this is dangerous.
Shouldn't have to be
told. And his one quote was, you know, if somebody drowns, do we drain the pool? Or do we teach people how to swim? And I agree 100%.
I did too.
Now, again, you feel bad for people and their families.
Right. It has nothing to do with how bad I feel for that.
That's right. Exactly. So you were not forced to do this. People got out there and they made mistakes. Some were just accidental. Obviously, it happens. It's going to happen anyway. Obviously, that increased the numbers that year, you know, by four or five, because, you know, people die every year in the wilderness. But
and if you think about this, like the pilot you were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like his family just used this as their vacation. It's bonding and camping
correct.
And all this.
And
now,
that's,
he wanted to find it.
That was why he put it out there. Like the treasure. Just like the secret, I mean.
And they only focused on like four people, but you could have probably done these little videos on so many people.
Yep.
Who... didn't find a treasure, but found other awesome things.
Yes,
only a few people
about
died
the hunt. And
out of 300,000.
It's the way I feel about, you know, gold prospecting, which I started again recently. It's not about
You've always said that.
It's about the adventure and finding it.
Yes.
And I've always been obsessed with treasure hunts. Like, you know me anyway.
And
I
want to
mention this really quick. Geocaching was another little easy version of that. This is something I mentioned before, too. I'll pull it out for a camera.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe I'll take a picture and throw it in there or something. This is something, after I found out about this, I went online and I did a couple. I actually did two of these and got them correct, but I only got one coin because these are limited. There were 50 of these made.
That's so cool.
And I'll hold it up and I'll cut it out. It's a huge coin. You can see the size of my hand.
Yeah.
And it's got the poem on the back. The Thrill of the Chase, which is the name of that book that he put out, Forrest Fenn's Gold Medallion. And I got this for solving a online treasure hunt. I did two of them. I don't know if you hadn't seen that in a while.
No, I haven't.
So this Mysterious Writings was a YouTube channel who, in an online forum, it does treasure hunts and armchair treasure hunts and all that stuff. And boots on the grounds, all that stuff. They deal with all that. And
this is that poem you just read?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I solved two of those, and they're limited coins, so I only got one. I got the credit for it and all that. But so I got put on their website and everything. And she sent me that coin, and that's for solving an online treasure hunt. And you had to go and look in some old Forrest, because they interviewed Forrest Fenn all the time. So anyway, I just want to mention that because I love treasure shit. I don't know what it's about. The Goonies did that to me.
That's right.
The Goonies did that to me when I was a kid.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Now,
anyway, so yeah.
A lot of people did get very obsessed with it, started going to his house.
Yes.
He had a gated home, you know, cameras all around. Can't blame him because of all the... Like, his house was full of these artifacts and stuff, some priceless, I'm sure. And but people like literally jumped the fence. They came home one day.
Oh God, that one dude.
Guy was coming out of the guest house
with a chest with had clothes in it, towels yeah. or something.
And the cops came, and you can see the body cam footage, and he's just saying, now, you're telling me you came here because looking for treasure or something like that.
Right.
And
so I thought the book led me here.
Yeah.
But you broke into the, he literally broke the glass, walked in this guest house and it was an actual, like a chest, but it had towels in it.
Yeah.
And
used the bathroom.
Yeah. Went in the fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, made himself at home and then got busted. And he just kind of like, oh, I thought the poem, but no, you didn't.
Forrest's daughter, who's, you know, pretty old herself, pulled her gun on him.
Yeah, he held him at gunpoint. Held him at gunpoint till the cops got there. You know, yeah. these are Westerners. You don't fuck around out there.
That's it.
They don't know. They're all loaded, locked and loaded. But yeah, it came to be where, you know, and I always thought about that. I think we talked about that the first time was, you know, somebody could have got a hold of him, held a knife to his throat, tell me where it's at.
That's right.
And that's what I was always afraid of. But yeah, his family was getting harassed and all kinds of stuff.
His granddaughter was getting stalked.
Yes. Now, the worst part about it was that after it was over, nobody believed it.
Yeah.
They thought, this is bullshit. We don't know this guy. Why is he anonymous?
Yeah, he wanted to remain anonymous.
Yes, he did.
So here's all these people who think they've got this figured out and they're close. Yes. And then they say, okay, it's found. It's over.
That's it. And
everybody wants to know where it was found. And how close was I?
I do understand that.
Yeah.
You need closure. But they all thought they were so right that it was bullshit. And it was so many. There's still conspiracy theories, by the way, that it was never out there, that he sent his grandson to get it.
Yeah.
And all this kind of stuff. And so
the proof, the picture after all the outrage, they put a picture of Forrest at his table with the treasure.
Yes.
That didn't prove a damn thing to anybody.
Right. Because that could have been older.
And
he had it the whole time.
Took all the metadata off the photo.
They did. They made it look sus.
Yeah.
They absolutely did. But turns out after it was over, that's when the shit really picked up with bullshit. Like people, that dude breaking or not. Not them, but people coming out to their house, people knocking on the gate all the time, still sending in letters.
It reminded me of when Forrest Gump stopped running.
Yeah.
The people following him did not know what to do.
He's like, I think I'm going home now. And they're like,
yeah. These people were just,
yeah.
They couldn't be over for
you. You had, you know, the dark side of all this.
It's funny,
stuff.
Both their names are Forrest. I didn't even think about that.
That's true. The dark side of all this type of stuff is the obsession, is that you had people losing their families. They spent their 401ks to pay
yes,
for these trips.
That's right.
To stay out there.
Probably lost jobs.
Lost jobs and relationships. A lot of that happened, but that's the people this obsession took over. So that's the dark side of this kind of thing anyway. But you're always going to have, no matter what it is, you're going to have people like that get obsessed. It's the same as conspiracy theorists. It's the same as flat earthers, all that kind of shit. There's that side. It's going to be off the deep end. And now, in their defense, you need closure.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like, I understand. I've been looking at this for 10 years. I've been out there several times. I've looked online. I've done all this research. Can you at least tell us exactly where it was and give us the solve?
Right. Because
you had all these. I remember I watched the videos, like all the solve videos. And I'm like, but I'm just sitting here in North Carolina. I don't really know
right.
about the Rockies. But I was smart enough to know, okay, hot geysers and all that up there where warm water is hot. Well, that's going to be where waters, that's where two hot springs run into a regular river. And now, how many of those are out there?
How many of those?
Rockies,
yeah.
Especially up in Yellowstone. So anyway,
I thought, like you said earlier, it's about the chase. It's about the adventure part of it. And
other people did get that. It
yeah.
wasn't just, they had focused on the obsessive people a little bit, but a lot of families I'm sure were, just
even
enjoying
like when themselves. Me and you went out there gold panning and we'd spend all day out there. Don't get me wrong, all that was fun, but when I'm digging down in those crevices, I'm hoping to pull a nugget out of there.
Of course. Absolutely.
And in my mind, I'm thinking of how cool it's going to be to pull it out. What if this is a honey hole?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, and how
Absolutely.
Could this change my life? Well, dude, they're thinking, like, they know. They've seen pictures of what's
yes,
in there.
Absolutely.
And so I'm sure some of them are probably really good at solving puzzles and riddles, and they're going, there's no 80-year-old man that can, you know, outsmart me, do a puzzle I can't figure out. Yes.
Except
and
for
they've
the fact,
already spent this money or whatever they plan to do, like, yes, like a lottery ticket.
Yes.
How you dream about what you're, yep, gonna do,
I'm
with
gonna
it.
I'm gonna get this, pay this house off. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna pay my, you know, my kids' tuition.
Yeah.
And you talking about in those days, I mean, it was buried in 10 years. So now about 14, 15 years ago, I would guess, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
It was actually,
that's right,
taken out,
yep,
there when he was 80.
Yep.
The price of gold then was probably, God, $1,400 an ounce, because I was probably still prospecting then, and now it's like $3,000.
It's insane. It's more than platinum now.
So at the time when it was found, the guy who's in this documentary, the younger kind of techie guy, ends up making a deal to buy the thing, because the guy, by the way, Jack found it. Jack, what would you say?
Me off.
Yeah. Jack's stuff. Stauff. I can't pronounce his last name.
Sofalot.
You just said it a minute ago. That would probably be pronounced. Let me find it.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Stuef.
Oh, yeah.
How did you say it probably is?
You said it. And I said it. Yeah, I think that's right. Stuef.
Jack Stuef. So the reason he is now known as to be the finder, and this is all confirmed, I'll maybe throw some of these pictures up or something. Is because the family had had enough of this drama. People still, after it was over, Forrest died.
Yes.
So, like, he turned 90, and 9 days later, he died.
That was another thing that added to the conspiracy.
Yes, because all of a sudden, it's, yeah, found right before he
dies.
Right
before he dies.
But it's almost like, the way I thought about it was, it's almost like he was waiting on it. And it's like, you know, some,
yeah,
people, we've
kept
talked about,
him alive.
Yeah, we know how some people will wait on, they'll be on their deathbed in the hospital, but they won't die till somebody gets there.
Yep.
Or you've heard of many of those stories.
You have.
It's almost like one of those things, but it was a heart attack. It was, because he was fairly,
that's,
healthy,
right. His grandson said, you know,
it was quick.
Quick
and painless.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's what I was trying
and
to
so
say.
I'm,
he
I'm,
said that.
I'm sitting there saying, well, he's fairly healthy. Well, I guess he wasn't, but, you know, as far, but it was sudden. He wasn't like on the decline, and he was still mentally sound and sharp and doing interviews and still and all that stuff. But
think about that. I mean, he was answering hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails.
A day, yeah. 100 a day, they said on average.
Kept him sharp.
Oh, yeah. And he loved it. He loved the attention. He loved the media. He, you know. But this guy knew his shit. He had been, you know, this dude's 90 years old, had been through a war, shot down twice. This is a tough old motherfucker. Knew his shit. He knew these places like the back of his hand. He was the guy who could go out there with nothing and survive. Like, you know,
yes,
not these kids going, dude, to the Walmart and grabbing a tent and going out into fucking Yellowstone.
I would love to try to interview that family, though.
Yeah.
The three guys. And I have the Down syndrome sister and everything. Like, I love those dudes. I would, it's,
yeah,
like, I,
yeah,
I kind of, and I felt like it was leaning at, it was trying to, the documentary was trying to frame it like they were hoping that he would give them something.
Yes.
You know,
for
and,
sure.
And, you know, I was conflicted on that. I was like, I agree. There's some of these people that he got close with that, he's got a million things in his house. He could give them something and say, you know, thanks for trying. I'm sorry and all this.
Yeah, but how many
but
people
then,
were that?
Like,
right?
I said, I was conflicted.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you can't. Because
they're
just
showed this one
that
family that he had in contact, mm-hmm, with, but there's a thousands
there's,
of others.
I know.
So it's one of those things like,
you
know. You
can't give your family's
inheritance
away.
Yeah, he would say throughout the hunt when people would email and send him pictures. That's what he would say. Send me pictures. How many people? There was like hundreds and hundreds of people said, I found it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the finder.
Yeah.
And he was like, send me pictures. And he never got those pictures, obviously. There was so many solves that were just so well. But the issue with that family was they were so far off. They just had it in. It's confirmation bias.
It's exactly what it was.
So when you think out, you figure out this one thing, the beginning, because he said from the get-go, if you do not have the first clue right, which is you start at where Walmart's halt.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, you have nothing. So they honed in on this one little town, which, you know,
their stuff made sense.
It did.
Yeah.
But then it got to the spot somehow, and it was like this boulder. And it's like, oh, it's under this rock because they got one little hit with a metal detector.
They sure did. I hate they got that hit, too, because they wasted 2 years of their life.
2 years trying to get this boulder out till they finally somehow blew it up with dynamite. And then there was nothing there. And then they thought, well, it's a proxy treasure. What's a treasure to him?
Exactly.
They're
And some riddles and puzzles are like that.
Sure, but...
Like, they were thinking, if you find this, he will give you that chest of stuff.
Yes, this certain spot.
Yeah.
So they narrowed in on a bear's head statue that had been... And they cut it off or something. They actually cut one off. They had found this bear statue out there somewhere and sent him a picture. And then the day they sent him that picture, was announced that it was found. And they said, oh, it's us. It's us. So they're waiting.
They had a long ride home. And
they're thinking Forrest is going to contact us.
Yeah, they sent that before they left, the picture. They go home, and it's all over the news. It's announced that it's
Forrest Fenn treasure has been found. That's us.
Oh, dude, I felt so sorry for them.
They were so locked in on that, like that conference, because anything you see from that point on is supporting your theory.
Like the F on the thing. Like they were really seeing this stuff.
Now, see, the problem with that one was he read a line in the book, not the poem.
Mm-hmm.
It said, I was in the middle of something, which made him say, okay, it's between the F, it's between this and that, and it's a triangulate in the middle, and that's where it is.
Dude, I was going to ask you this. Was that, when they said somebody came up with a cipher for it, was that real?
No, there was no cipher.
But it made it read other stuff, right?
Supposedly. I didn't confirm that.
Dude, somebody could throw him off so bad putting stuff out there.
He didn't
like
do
that.
Any ciphers. He didn't do coordinates. It was straight up. He said it from the get-go, just follow the poem.
Mm-mm-mm.
And like, you know, and then I know it's easy to armchair quarterback. I get it. I'm not saying I would have found it.
Yeah, we didn't spend 2 years out there beating on a boulder.
But at the same time, I always say this, you know, when he said it straight up, and this is not a dude that's going to bullshit people to sell a book. He didn't need money. He said straight up, just read the poem. Just read it over and over, and it's right there in the poem.
And don't do anything an 80-year-old
And don't do anything. And you're right, exactly. This is not something where you need history. You don't need coordinates. You don't need all this kind of stuff to know anything specific. So when you look back, it was really straightforward.
Imagine this that the documentary didn't show. If one of those three kept arguing and saying, he said an 80-year-old, don't do anything. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Can you imagine the tension that I mean, it did bring them together. You could tell.
Yeah.
But I'll bet sometimes out there in those fucking woods when they're camping.
Oh, yeah.
They went to bed without talking probably.
100%. No doubt about it. And they said, you know, the one kid, I think he was strung out on something that saved him.
It was awesome.
But they had some, they'd mentioned having some, you know, not a good relationship with dad. All that kind of stuff. But and then that's what I said. I was kind of talking to the TV, like, I get what you're saying, dude, but you left your wife for months at a time, and she hated this. And they didn't really say that at the beginning. They said that a little bit later. So she wanted a divorce, and she got one.
And you were saying earlier about the guy who actually bought the treasure from an auction house,
right?
Most of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that...
He had a tragedy. That
yeah,
he dealt
out of
with.
Kind of, that was out of left field.
It really was.
So him and his brother, he got his brother involved, and he would. He said he got involved with this. He literally wrote a facial recognition program to read Forrest interviews. This dude was close.
He trained his dog
to sniff copper.
Yeah, sniff copper.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It was good at it. And then he started searching places where they wouldn't allow dogs
on the trails,
and I hated that.
But other places he could, and I never made any sense of that. That didn't make any sense to me.
But he had all these great ideas,
and he was very close.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout these years, when people would ask him, you know, what's going on with the treasure hunt, he's like, people's been close. They've been within 500 feet.
I was thinking they said within 200 feet. But
nobody knew who that was. So he said some people were way off, some people were fairly close.
And all that does, though, is encourage the people who think they're close, and they could be in another state.
I'm right on it. Yeah. They might be in – they're down in damn right – you know, literally Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the trail – it's in Wyoming.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty big
– sorry, go ahead.
But it's like I was saying before. It's
about the brother.
Yeah, the brother.
Yeah.
So he said he would run some solves, as we call them, by him, and he never really took interest. But when he said this last one, which was very close, he was right there, about the fishing hole, which was fire hole.
Yep.
That was one of his favorite fishing holes.
And that ended up being the home of Brown yes, trout.
Correct. Exactly. And the brother said, okay, that seems to make sense. So they went out and started having a good time together and kind of reignited their, I guess, relationship. But then out of left field, he's on his way to go back out there, I think, gets a call from a mom, I guess it was his mom, and then come home immediately or whatever, flew out there, and his brother had left a note.
Yeah.
And he knew, and he followed where to go, and he followed these little spots.
Mile marker off the interstate.
Yeah, and there was spray paint, and he followed these things up, and it led him right to where he had killed himself.
So wild.
And it was just out of the blue, like, okay, he had something else going on that we didn't know about.
But one of the things he spray painted said Finn.
It did say Finn.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, obviously he had something going on before that. That's just something that got in his head, and mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe he was probably a message to his brother. And his brother took it like, okay, I got to find this now, you know, obviously for my brother type of thing, which we didn't really say in the beginning of the documentary, the very beginning, the first little scene before it even comes on,
is
this dude getting up from his like interview chair and saying something off camera to like re-hit it. And like, we're like, wait a minute, what is that? And then it just comes on. You're and like, what does that mean?
Clues and
So this guy, after it's discovered, and again, the family, just to go back to that really quick, they decided, okay, we can't keep him secret anymore. So they had this thing going on. He was going to be subpoenaed, so he came out public. Turns out he was a treasure hunter. He had been under a different name, under forum, because all kinds of forums out there, Reddit and stuff.
He was on there actively.
He had been on there active. You know, the Jack guy, he had been emailing Forrest, and he turns out that he had picked up some little slip-ups during interviews.
That's right.
So he was close, but when he got the one thing that set him off and made him knew he was in the right spot was he said in an interview, I was going to go back to my favorite, and then he pulled back and then said location or something, but he in his head, he was going to say fishing hole.
Yes.
So he narrowed in and said, because in that book there were pictures of that, I think it's called Fire Hole or something.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Something Fire Hole.
And it's just got a big boulder on the side of the bank.
And there was some pictures in there. Now, he didn't like, you know, I guess that, I don't know if it was on purpose. He said there was no other real clues. You might get some insight, but no real clues in the book. But he started emailing him about that. Now, he wouldn't confirm anything, obviously. He never told anybody. And he never told him if he was close, but he was close. So he kind of honed in, and it took him, from the time he figured out the location, 25 days.
Really?
And the last search area was in that little 100 football field size search area, was what they said. Which if you think about a little, like you said, a 14 by 14 whatever box is very tiny on a football field in a forest.
And was it in that section, the guy who ended up buying it,
yeah.
Was it in that section where he was walking with the young trees, all the little trees, and the downed trees that are crisscrossed?
That's exactly where
it was. Those little trees?
Yep.
Okay, I knew he was close right there.
Yep, and because they showed some footage, probably that might have been from his other videos or something, because I went on YouTube too and saw people that went to the location. Now a lot of people went out there.
It'd be fun.
And by the way, this website that I was showing you earlier, they have absolutely 100% confirmed this is the Sob and this is where it was, because first of all, when they took the pictures, the guy sent Forrest these emails with the pictures. There was a stick in it that was identified later there, a certain little stick that accidentally got in the picture. They lined up the little, like you said, the fallen trees beside it. It was like these square patterns almost. So it was trees falling this way and this way, like an X pattern.
And when that guy held that picture,
and it
the
matched,
grains matched up and everything.
He did it life size. He printed it out.
So
and it
cool.
Lined up perfect. And you can see the impression where it was, because it wasn't buried. He just slid it up under this little tree. And over 10 years, there was some debris on top of it. So when the guy found it, which I have the pictures here, maybe I'll throw them up there.
That'd be a good idea.
You can see the top of the box, like the shape, because it had this cool little design, mm-hmm. this copper box. They even tested the ground for copper right there and got it like 300% higher than normal.
Wow.
It confirmed 100% this was actually the spot. So
it's like 100,000 colony forming Sorry.
Amoebas. I mean, I will never ever get honey mustard again. I will always go sweet and sour. And they have no idea what we're saying right now.
Oh, my God.
I've been getting sweet and sour in my little chicken fries anyway. But now I'm damn sure not getting honey mustard ever again. I can never think of that again.
That's funny. Sorry.
No, you're
But, yeah, they proved it. They found the copper.
So, how about this? Just for shits and giggles, here is the solve. This is 100% confirmed. There's no question about it. All right, where I won't go through the whole point, but the basic clues. And then the last two stanzas wasn't really the clues. You were already found it by then. So
okay.
It was pretty short.
Yeah.
So here's the solution. Where warm waters halt, that's where you start. All rivers began in distant headwaters, but not the Madison River. It begins mid-course as an alleged large river. Thermal springs create warm water of the fire hole. That's what the fish hole is, which halts as it mixes with the cool water of the Gibbon to form the Madison River. So there was these two rivers that came into the Madison, and that's where warm waters halted because they combined with the regular river. Madison River.
I'm sorry.
Which he had mentioned several times.
I'm sorry.
Book. No, you're fine.
Back to that family.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Man, I really thought, because they found a place where rivers meet and come down,
yeah.
And those blazes on the trees. I never heard those called that.
Yeah.
But I really thought they were onto something there with that.
Right, but I don't know that there were any hot spring areas down there.
No, but remember they justified everything, yeah, they did find where two rivers met and came down, and but it was when they were the ones that honed in on those blazes, and evidently loggers notch trees and call it blazes.
They're trail markers.
And they call it a blaze, and in his poem or something, the word blaze was there, and they honed in on that.
Yeah, and there was an actual blaze there. Now, Jack said that when he got there, it was very, very worn down, and you could barely see it.
Oh, there was one at the solve site.
Yeah, because it was
okay.
It was marked. That was where you go in the woods.
Yeah,
you
know, but I thought they were the only ones that I remember talking about it.
But now other people I remember back in the day when we were talking about this before, and I was looking at all this stuff, people thought the blaze could be, they knew it was a, everybody knew the original meaning of marking a tree, a trail marker, but there's other types of blazes, like a blaze on a horse.
Yeah,
and there was a big white streak on one rock on a mountain. They thought, okay, that's the blaze of a horse.
Oh, yeah.
So there's all kinds of theories.
You got to think like that.
You do. So where warm waters halt, that's at the Madison River. Take it in the canyon down. Now, you literally drive, and he said, because the third line was too far to walk. Now, that was a relative distance for him because he's like, it was 4 miles. He was 80 years old. He said, not far, but too far to walk. So that was... So take it in the canyon down, drive downstream, because he means downstream from Madison River, through the canyon that was right there. Too far to walk, he said, for an 80-year-old forest, too far to walk that 4 miles below the home of Brown, put in below the home of Brown. This was the fire hole. This was his old favorite fishing hole where he caught brown trout. And there's an actual boat thing there. But when he says put in, he means go in the river. Because the next line says, no place further meek, no paddle up your creek. What he means is you go in the water, but you don't go up the creek. You cross it.
Mm.
And that's where it confirms it with heavy loads and water high. So you cross the river right there. You put in and you cross.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he was at. So you cross at that hole. And then you cross it and then look for the blaze, which is in the tree, and look down. And that's when you go in, that's where you go into the woods. And then that's where you start looking. And that's where it was. And it's got the whole map here and all that stuff. So that was the confirmed solve. And he did say back in the email exchanges here with Jack, it literally says here, yes, my home of Brown was the actual hole at the 9 mile hole. 9 mile hole was the actual fishing hole.
Mm.
So he says that was what his home of Brown was. Anyway, so that was the solve. And again, I understand that all the other people out there needed some kind of closure, which is
hell
why
yeah.
they had to, the families decided we got to let this guy's got to come public. So that all happened, and then you saw the picture of him. I thought he would be in this document. That's the only thing that disappointed me was he went public. They shared. Thank you, Jarvis. they showed They showed the full pictures of him sitting there.
They did. They released all that. I was so glad they did that.
Yep. And then he decided to put it up for auction, which is okay. I don't know his background or money or any of that stuff, but it seems to me maybe he needed the money. Because
yeah.
If you're already got money, you want to keep some of that stuff at least.
Here's what I'm thinking. That might have been what happened, what we were talking about, where you said the guy put the offer in, it was accepted, and then all of a sudden...
$1.3 million, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he didn't get all of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like the seller might have decided to keep some.
Yeah, so he got something. We don't know exactly. He got definitely some pieces. He got that dragon
bracelet.
There were a
couple nuggets that were like this big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gold.
They were in their palm like this.
Oh, gold, yeah. And by the way... You know, 1.3 is very low to me.
I thought so, too.
If you know about any kind of gold prospecting, when you find specimen gold, which means it's in quartz steel and stuff like that, or nuggets that are that old and big, those are way more than spot price.
Way.
Way. Now, when you're talking about like right now.
Because nobody's going to smelt those. They want them like that.
They are, exactly. They are rare, and they are specimens, especially if they got quartz attached to, and especially if it's crystallized gold. There was some of that in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is worth way more than spot price. You're talking about triple, five times the value if you had money on it, but sometimes priceless.
Yeah.
So way more than $1.3 million today. Anyway, so this guy did get a hold of the box. Now, he didn't use the box. We're going to talk about that in a second, but he did put... The dragon bracelet that was like an artifact that had gems and diamonds in it, but gold.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
A couple other things. And then he put a Bitcoin thing in there. It's rising every day.
I thought that was cool as hell.
That was cool. So he added a modern thing. So anyway, what ended up being at the end of this fucking documentary, this guy runs up to the producers. And that's what we had heard off camera is he hid that shit again and he announced it.
Yeah.
At the end of this documentary, after it goes off, it pops back up almost like a Marvel post-credits fucking scene.
Yeah.
And he says, by the way, I have hid my own treasure now. It includes some of this. And he showed the pictures of the box. It's a different box. Gold, diamonds, the whole nine. And some of these artifacts from the Forest Fenn find.
Yes. And that Bitcoin thing he's talking about.
And the Bitcoin thing and all that stuff as well. And he put it out there somewhere and wrote his own book that released on just a couple of days ago, the 27th of, we're recording on the 30th.
Yeah.
The 27th of March. The poem's already out there on his website. You don't have to buy the book.
Yeah, this documentary is only 4 days old.
Exactly. And then he says, and I hope you watch closely. Go watch the Netflix documentary again because I did leave clues in the documentary.
Sure did.
And the producers had no idea.
Yeah, they keep putting it on there.
And they put
they have no idea, yeah.
Exactly. And don't hunt for treasure. We don't encourage you to do this type of stuff. We had no idea. But the guy was smart enough to know that they're going to cut things out. And so he can't say the clues necessarily. Maybe he did. So it was where he was sitting. And if you look back at where he was sitting most of the time, because they did change some locations,
yeah.
He had like a whole Death Star, I call it, of monitors behind him.
He did.
And the reason I call it the Death Star, because back at Microsoft, that's what we had at Microsoft. We called it the Death Star.
Yeah.
We had like 6-8 monitors, you know, that's for all
so
the
cool.
systems we had to take care of. And there's some potential, I'm sure there are clues on the monitors and on the wall. Lots of clocks.
Yes.
And coffee cups in different positions and two coffee cups in one and one in the other. And so now yeah. people are already analyzing
when
that.
When you said that downstairs about him not knowing what they're going to cut out and keep in.
Yeah.
You know, that helped a lot. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going to watch it again.
I am too now.
And so seriously, guys, think about it. Your whole life, you know, you X marks the spot, pirate treasures and
yes.
everything. It's just fascinating.
It is, and it's what I love about the modern versions of these is these modern pirate treasures, I call our treasure hunts or booty or whatever you want to mm-hmm. call it, is just like we talked about in the original podcast with that one, this one, and The Secret, which is, I love The Secret.
That's
shit.
So fascinating, too.
The whole idea is get off the couch with your family. Go out and look for these things and see these beautiful parks and learn the history
yes.
of these places because The Secret was about the 12 different immigration groups that came in, you know, through to America that created America. And that's why he used these public parks that had these nods to these particular groups. And so that's why there's some in New York for Italian, you know, immigrants, and then Charleston for African Americans and all that stuff. There's different things, and you learn the history behind it, and you get out with your family. And you go on adventures because that's what life's about. It's not about working every fucking day.
How many of those? You said 12?
12. Three have been recovered. Some will never be recovered, but I want to be on that list so bad.
Each one of these 12, to me, are the equivalent of a Forrest Fenn because they have a puzzle, a poem, and a painting.
A poem and a painting, and it's just one little gemstone. It ain't worth a couple $1,000s.
Right.
It ain't going to get rich, but if you're... There's only three people in that fucking club.
Yeah,
it's about being in the club. Mm-hmm. Now, the first Chicago find on that one was three dudes together, so they're kind of all in the club. But so they did it as one unit. But
yeah.
The other two was two guys, and the second one was two guys. The third one was a dude and his daughter, and that was Boston. That was recently found back in what 5-6 years ago.
Yeah,
because I showed you all that stuff. We watched the Expedition Unknown. Mm-hmm. With Josh Gates, he went out there.
That's right.
And they found the rest of it.
The one, was that Chicago that was?
The first one was Chicago, and that was like a year after.
Which one was the one that was like construction had happened? And
that was Boston.
Boston. That was the one.
Chicago was found within a year. Cleveland was found 10 years later. Boston happened 5 years ago. This dude died in 1984.
Yeah.
Or and five, something like that.
It's really cool to me, that story, guys, if... Go back and watch 32 if you're interested at all, our episode 32, because
I'll link that. Remind me to link that. I'll link it in this one.
Because that guy went out on his own and he had all of these and came up with all these poems. I think he paid somebody to do the paintings, right?
He had this one guy he's frequently interviewed now in this community because this is still a thing going on.
These
still
paintings
going.
Are amazing.
They
to
are.
Me.
They're gorgeous, and he hid all the clues in the paintings. Now he only knew himself where one was. Now he claims this because he actually helped. He was the watch out while he was hiding. What this dude would do back in 1984 or 80 or whatever it was, he would put on he would go out in these parks, these state parks or whatever, and he would put on a little vest and a hard hat and go out there.
I love that.
Bury it, and then they're only like a foot or two.
Yeah, and
these clear.
If you
casts,
saw him out there, you're like, oh, yeah, he's with the city or contractor.
Never think about it. But some were easier, and they're pretty straightforward too when you think about it. When you look back, obviously it's hard to do, but anyway, nine more out there supposedly. Now I think there's one here in North Carolina. There's one in South Carolina, never been found. I think a lot of these have been gone to time. There's so many of these parks got renovated.
Yeah.
And I think where he fucked up too was some of his markers and things were trees. And he never thought about it. I think he thought these would be found fairly quick.
But that's why he went in these public areas. He thought they wouldn't be touched.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they redo parks. And the only reason Boston was because the Boston story is the interesting one because this was fairly recent. This is 30 years later. He gets there thinking, okay, this is where it's leading me. And then he gets there and there's a construction zone at the park. And he's like, oh shit. And he got there, dude, just in time because they had already, and he went and talked to him and said, I know this sounds crazy. If you see something, please let me know. They hit it.
And they're in these like plastic, plaster.
Yep, no, yeah. Well, it's a clear plexiglass case. Okay. And then inside there's a, what do you call it? Pottery, not plaster, but, you know, they got the artist to do the container and a key.
Yes.
And a ceramic.
Ceramic, that's right.
So little ceramic potteries, and they all have clocks on them and whatever.
Yeah.
You take that key, and you give it to now the wife, because they say, well, there's a new publisher that owns all this, but they say they uphold it. And the key, you present that to her, and they have a little ceremony and everything, and you get the gem.
I love that.
And they get a pin now on your lapel.
I love it.
And so that's why I'm just fascinated by it. So now, Forrest Fenn has created, and I want to do this here for a small town. I really do. Something small and easy that, you know.
I've been thinking about making a geocache at my house now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have that circle drive. I think it'd be easy for somebody to come in and come go
I got
out.
One across the street.
I
still.
Know, man.
I still watch them occasionally come in there. Because I see it getting found all the time, but they've changed it. See, I had it all rigged up cool with a magnet, looked like part of the fence. Somebody broke it.
Dude, the cool one was, I thought, was the log.
Still out there.
And then the other one was like a treehouse or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, the first one was a birdhouse where you pulled the thing.
Yeah, birdhouse.
The perch, and it popped.
The bottom
dropped out.
I love that.
That's gone because... They built that shit up there and destroyed all the woods.
Oh, hell.
So that just got wiped off the map. And then my other one's still out there.
Yeah, he hollowed out a log and like hinged
that. That was stage one.
You could open it up. That's mm-hmm. so cool.
That's where you got the key, the rod, which was battery. And then you walked down more, 60 paces more, found the cabin on the lake, which is what I called it. And I had a story with that because that's where I used to go fishing as a kid.
So cool.
And then you put the battery in a secret place and it drops out of the bottom of it, the little cache. So that's why I got into stuff like that. It's cool. I love hiding them. Probably more than finding them because I like this. But that one was so many people broke that damn thing because they started jamming shit up in the hole.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't figure out. Oh, my God. And I had to put a thing, do not enter. Anyway, that one needs to be fixed. I still have all those out there, though. But I just love adventure. And, you know, it's kind of like right now, I'm almost 50, a couple months. And I got a camper. I'm taking my maiden voyage here in a couple weeks, finally. And I'm got back into prospecting a little bit, been a few times gold panning. And that's what life's about. I don't, you know, a lot of people, and I get it, and that's totally up to you, but I work to live. I don't live to work.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about, is these memories that you create. You go out for a week in the woods and get away from it all, and you fish, or you gold pan, or you just sit there by the fire, whatever you want to do.
All right.
With no phones and computers and these little adventures to take with your loved ones to go searching for treasure is fucking cool.
Dude.
It sounds like some nerd shit. That sounds stupid. But no, dude. That's what life's about.
I hate warm weather. I just hate snakes. I love the woods.
It's funny you said that. We found a little garter snake under our tire today.
Really?
A little tiny garter snake, little baby.
Well, green. You know, I'm paranoid now because at the end of summer last year, we mm-hmm. had that snake in my house. And
well, yeah, in your house is a little different story. Yeah.
And that's just terrifying.
And every year you see copperheads, but, you know, you just got to be aware. As long as you're making noise and you got something to, you know, they usually go before you even get there, especially in the woods. I will say this, and you worry. I've seen snakes around the lake more, which are just, I found out from the ranger there, by the way. They're not even moccasins. They're just black water snakes. I've seen them there as many times as I've hiked down gold panning. Mm-hmm. I've seen snakes in the creek, like I said, way off. Mm-hmm. They'll just swim away from you. But as many times I hiked down to that one spot,
yeah,
never had a snake. Because as long as you're talking and walking and making
right,
and I have a shovel always just in case anyway, because I'm gonna dig. There are occasional rattlesnakes.
That's
terrifying. I've never seen one. My mom has came across one. That's very, very rare, but they're there. But I have never seen a snake in that area. And they're probably long gone before we get there.
I got to tell y'all, that last year, that snake, that was terrifying.
In your house.
My daughter mm-hmm. was out of town, and she asked Landon if he would feed her cat while they were gone. And so it was about, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. He said, hey, I'm going over to feed the cat, and I'll be back soon. And I was like, okay, I'm in my recliner watching TV. He is the back door. I hear something banging. Daddy! I thought there was an intruder. I went running in there with full intent of body splashing somebody. And then he said, snake! And I'm like, I would have rather it been a man, intruder.
An armed robber with a gun than a snake.
A damn snake in my house.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about giving you the heebie-jeebies,
came in the
man?
Back with the back porch, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yep. So
hell, look at Australia. Shit.
No, I know. I couldn't live there. I could not live there.
I saw an Aussie man clip the other day, just randomly. You know, he does the voiceovers for animals. And there was an owl sitting on somebody's fucking grandfather clock. This wasn't in Australia, I don't think. This was just some, I don't even know where it was.
But those huntsman spiders they have down there, they're huge, and they'll be in your house.
Dude, I told you about the time at Uori taking a shit in the damn bathhouse, and I was looking at a fucking mouse spider.
Uh-uh.
In the corner, dude. I was okay. I'm not trying to be graphic. I'm, you know, there's bathhouses where this campground is. So uh-huh. you can go in there and take a shower and got bathrooms. We're in tents, you know. So I was in there. I sit down to do my business, you know, and I'm in a stall. You know, it's like in this bathhouse, it was like four or five. There's pretty long. And I get down, I'm sitting there, I'm looking up, and I noticed something out of the corner of my eye, like a dark spot, and like looking at my phone. But now the phone has no signal, so you can only do whatever is on, you know.
I remember that. I forgot about that, though.
I see something out of the corner of my eye, like, over here, like, out of my peripheral vision. I look over there, it's a fucking mouse spider. Now, when I say mouse spider, I think that's what it's called. It's about this big.
Holy shit.
It's like a tarantula, but it's not an actual tarantula. Right. But it's huge. And I'm like, I'm sitting there exposed.
Dude, yeah, the worst possible position you could be in.
And I know, you know, I know spiders just don't run and attack you, you know, like in the movies or something, but I'm still like,
You don't see that every day.
I did this. I put the camera on, right, real slow. I don't want to scare it. And I was, like, trying to get close to it. And I kind of got as far as I could stretch out and took a picture. It never moved. It was alive. I've seen it moving, but it never scrambled away. I have that picture somewhere still. And I'll find it.
See, that's what you always think you're seeing out of the corner of your eye. Yeah. But it's never that.
It's never that till it is.
Till it is. Pants are around your ankles.
Exactly. Literally around my ankles.
But seriously, every time you see something, that's what you think. There's a fucking spider. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah, that's you know, that's part of being out in the woods, man.
It is.
But like today, just little garter snake, and it was just under the chalk, the wheel chalk. And she was worried about being a copperhead. I said, no, it's not a copperhead. I've seen a million baby copperheads. They have a certain pattern. Mm-hmm. It's a green garter snake. And it was a little baby. And that's the thing, though, about snakes. I don't know how we got on snakes, but around here with copperheads or anywhere, really, you don't want to run to babies.
No.
They have no control over their fucking venom. You'd rather be bit by an adult than a baby.
Yeah.
They can keep pumping.
Which I was, when I was like 20, me and my buddy were renting a house from his parents, and I was out in the backyard one day and saw a baby copperhead, mm-hmm. and was just fascinated by it and just kept watching it. And the neighbor next door, I guess he was about my age now.
Yeah.
He told me that. He's like, dude, don't be fooled by that little thing. Yeah, you know, exactly.
Maybe 2 years ago, there was a baby copperhead in my garage, right in the
shut
about a
up.
Foot or two, yeah. So I was standing right there, saw it, and literally had the shovel hanging on the wall right there where I got all my things hanging up on the side, and I grabbed it, and I kill those. I don't fuck with copperheads.
I hate to take these tangents, but how about when we were cable guys and it got hot?
Oh, my God, dude.
All the wasps that come out. I mean, we had to open boxes every day. And I'm telling you, 75% of them had wasp nests in
them. Now, one thing you'll learn about shit like that is, and I know we're off the rails here a little bit, that's fine. Like, you know, black widows. You know, every pedestal, the great thing about black widows, every pedestal has one.
That's right.
That's it. There's no more spiders in there.
That's exactly
right.
There are
no more creatures. They're not going to bother you. Just you can reach down in there.
Those green cylindrical things that are being in the corner
of
your yard.
Pets, yeah, or dog houses. Or the dog houses are the bigger green ones with the vents on.
Yep. Dude, one. Always in there, too.
Yep, every time.
And, you know, but if you don't see it, that's the problem. Right. I don't mind when I see one. They're creepy as hell, but at least you know where it's at, and there's not another one in there.
That's right. That's it. They kill everything else. But I told you, remember, I was on the ladder and I had a copperhead under my ladder.
Yes, I remember that.
That happens occasionally. You get trapped on your ladder.
Yeah.
And your feet are already hurting, regardless if you had them shanks and the damn boots or not. So you're trying to shoo a copperhead away from so you can get off your fucking ladder.
We had the worst boss.
Oh my God.
I had this one pole I was going
that's
up.
That's a whole podcast right there.
I saw a picture of him on Facebook.
James
the other day,
saw me and him and fight all the time.
I've got PTSD from this motherfucker.
I do too.
I fucking Chris and him. That was funny. But I had a poll. I said, dude, I'm not gonna do this. There is a huge hornet's nest up on this damn pole. And
dude, he would die to prove you wrong.
That's right. That's what I was gonna 100%. Say. He drove 2 towns over to come to my job site and climb that pole. He was swarmed by these hornets. And I don't know if he got stung. He never made a sound. But like Chris said, he would die
to prove you wrong.
To prove you wrong. Because you know why? He was a little short fella.
He was.
And he had that damn Napoleon complex.
He did, 100%.
And he loved doing something these big guys wouldn't do.
Yep. He came out there on one of my that huge, horrible nightmare of a job, and where it's supposed to be normally, if it was anybody else that didn't have money or knew called in, whoever they called would have been of them. I didn't even have to do the job because it was way too far.
Yes.
But I had to go ahead and do that job somehow. And then I had to get up on this pole and I could not reach that tap. And I was like, give me a bucket truck. He came, like you said, drove all the way from Kannapolis.
Stood up on the damn arms of the very tip top to prove you wrong.
Yep. Just to got up there and.
Unsafe as hell. Hey,
Christopher. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I would have, I'm not dying for nobody's cable. I'm sorry. For your internet, sorry, not going to do it. You want to get up there and prove me wrong and fall off? Fine. This dude couldn't even carry a ladder right. Like he would have been breaking all the OSHA rules.
I asked for traffic control one day in the rain on Ridge Avenue. Our boss makes us, I mean, we had rain suits, and that's great, but they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, you don't even want to waste
your
time.
You don't want to waste your time in these things. But he's the kind of guy that is going to make you wear it. So I'm out there in my rain suit, hanging three spans to a mid span and then down to the house, crossing Ridge Avenue, and he was my traffic control.
Of course.
All right. He let me, RG11, the thicker one, guys, he let me pull this damn thing, the whole thing. And then when I put my ladder up.
Yeah, of course.
He goes out there with his measuring stick and stretches it up and made me raise it 2 inches.
Yep. That's what he would do. Instead of saying, hey, James, while you're up
Watching traffic.
While you're up there, can you just make sure that's a, or you're a good measure while you're on the pole?
Yeah, while I'm there, he could have done that.
Dude, we got in so many fights. But then at the end, it was the, he was the coolest dude ever.
I agree.
And still to this day, I mean.
He was cool to us as far as like if we needed anything.
Oh, yeah, he had your back.
Our tools or anything. The other guys had so much trouble getting stuff.
Yeah, he'd always approve your shit instantly.
Yeah.
Make sure you got it. But anyway, that's a whole different tangent we got on somehow. But
it is.
Anyway,
talk about it much anymore.
No, no. But we that'd be cool to get. But I need to go. I went by there for a couple of years and gave him some racing stuff and whatever when he was still there. He's been retired now. Wife died and all that stuff. So
well, yeah, he's working for a contractor now.
Oh,
him and Terry Kepley.
That's right. You told me that.
That's how I saw his picture on Facebook. It still says like. Supervisor for them.
Right,
yeah. But anyway, that's fun. Me and Chris, I'm so scared of dogs. We were at his house one time.
I passed that house, dude, today.
Did you?
I passed
where they were breaking the damn fence down.
Got the windows like on the fence.
He was laughing.
Passed the house,
and
today.
I'm like, dude, my knees are knocking. These dogs wanted to eat us, dude. They were banging.
They were,
and
like,
this fence was just.
Fence. I went in there. Remember?
I know.
And they had
nuts.
Didn't do a thing. A lot of that too. Walking in backyards and here, but you just don't be scared. And like I said, you don't mean you're not gonna get bit, but you know
the ghosts is the worst, and the attics and cellars.
Exactly. The old creepy toys under the houses. I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway, that'd be another whole fun talk.
Here. It really would.
Get old Mark Ballard on here.
Yeah. If we could ever, I know you don't have time anymore, but say we did get into a cable type storytelling, and you could put pictures of kind of the things we're talking about, and I think that would help the viewer appreciate the stories more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it'd almost be like a
lesson.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. I was on the phone the other day with a dude from work. I do insurance, and you know he was kind of. Standoffish at first. You got to kind of gain some trust and break them down, make them feel more comfortable, you know, and get that rapport going. And dude, I listen. I've become I can listen now because I'm hearing these little clues.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm honing in on.
Mm-hmm.
He said something about linemen. Jumped on that shit immediately. I said, dude, I did it for 7 years, blah, blah, blah. I give all these details. He was like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, he bought a policy.
Dude, you were installing the very first high-speed internet in North Carolina.
The very first Roadrunner I did.
Yeah.
I can show you, on that road, the houses look very similar, but I can tell you about one of the three right there. Now, it's one of those. I did the first Roadrunner.
That's so wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. The first.
Because then when I started, we were still having to switch out those 56K modems in somebody's living room. You had to take their computer apart.
You had to take their NIC out. Yep. You had that whole thing, everything.
Put a new card in for them so they could get the Ethernet.
Yep.
That's wild, man. And there was still analog cable back then.
Yep.
So much has changed. We are fucking ancient, man.
We are. We've seen a lot of changes.
And
we're the coolest fucking generation there is. I'm sorry. Gen X, I know.
We are.
There's nobody that can compete with that.
Mm-mm.
We've seen it
all. Bridge.
We saw the end of the old times and beginning of the new times and the transition in between. It's been
That's right.
It's been a hell of a ride so far.
It has been.
And here's to 50 more.
Here's the Yeah, and listen, guys, I hope you've been watching for clues and listening.
Watch this again now.
Yeah, there is a treasure out there.
I really want to do that, man. I've been seriously considering it. Get permission from the city to do something cool. We got some cool little stuff. You know, because like the secret thing when I was talking about before was it's all big cities, you know, for the most part. Real big historical. And, you know, that's cool. But there's a lot of small town history out here.
That's right.
And our own little town has a lot of history. And I think it would be cool to do something like that for small towns. Because we have parks and we have cool little, you know, unique old-timey towns and stores. And I just told you about going through Gold Hill and the general store up there is still open.
Chris, if you ever went in there and took pictures and shared with them, they would be amazed by that what you saw today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've only been there once, and it's just like stepping back in time.
It is. And dude went in there, and that wasn't today. That was day before, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Whatever it was. But went in there and got us a fucking Coke float. The woman had free peanuts. You could sit there and chat and just sit there and chew on peanuts while she's fixing your stuff up. You know, of course, nowadays it's more, you know, they're not selling like old flour bags and stuff.
Right.
You know, but they're selling like jams, homemade jams and honeys. And hell, they had jalapeno honey and spicy honey.
Damn.
I was like, oh, shit. But I ain't about. But anyway, talked about panning. She was like, used to teach panning and gold prospecting out there. I said, where'd you get your dirt? I was like, she's like, I'm like, why? Well, just tell me where you got your dirt.
Am I right that there's like an old jail cell
there
in the ground, kind of? Like it's humped out of the ground and you can see bars on the windows?
I don't remember if it's a jail cell. I know the old post office is there, which is a tiny little shack.
Mm-hmm. No, this is like across from those. Like, I've only been once. But I felt like it was for that little tiny ass gold mining community.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they would throw people who stole gold and
could have been. I don't remember I'm gonna go back.
Yeah,
so I'll
if you do look
you know,
for that,
you're talking about maybe across from on the back street area.
Yep, and if you and because see, Ken knows that place. He's been down there a million times, and he took me and showed me. But I feel like it's right across from there, and it's like a humped up out of the ground. So if you got thrown in this jail, you had to go down.
Yeah.
And then there's old-ass bars on there. It reminded me of Young Guns.
Yeah.
That little pit they were in.
Oh, God.
On Young Guns 2.
Pouring damn shit down in them.
Mm-hmm. But
I got two lots of news for you, good and bad. What you want for?
Have you heard they're doing Young Guns 3?
Yes.
Emilio Estevez did a press conference.
Please tell me.
And all of them are signed on.
Good.
Blue Diamond Phillips.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes, please. I don't know how that's going to be because they told the whole story up until
the
50s of him actually living.
I know.
But
I don't.
Yes, absolutely. Sign me up. I'm in.
I'm
Take
interested.
My money.
Yes,
you know.
Dude.
I love it. But anyway, I guess we're good there. I mean, we talked about some treasure. We got off on a little tangent, but that's okay. We can do that. We're allowed to do that. But yeah, Forrest Fan documentary. It's called Golden Greed.
Yes.
I don't know why they put the greed thing in. Because, I mean, I understand some people maybe, but it's not about that. That's not what treasure hunting's about. Look, it's fun. Riddles and ciphers and like we're, you know, me and Chad just sent each other codes with no hints and just random stuff. I mean,
me and you did for a while there.
I got that big, he made me that walking stick and lacquered it up and everything. It had that code in it. You know,
that's cool.
I just love figuring things out, and I love sleuthing or detective work or whatever you want to call it. But when there's a prize there, it is, you know, like the book says, it's the thrill of the hunt. So now this dude has continued the legacy. Now, of course, it's out west. It's no realistic option for me to go us go treasure hunt.
I know.
And we don't know that area. And we could probably, I do feel confident because I have done two of these online with very similar things. It's just not out in the woods. That one, I could do something like that. But
that lady sprayed herself in the crotch with bear spray.
Oh, God. And kept on going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. Had a brown bear come up and.
So many things that can go wrong.
And, exactly. And that's when it's going to happen. Squatted down to hide, and you heard the thing go off. And then she started smelling it. Her eyes started burning. Her whole crotch is on fire.
Dude.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, I saw a video just, what even related to that? Just a random reel or something where a guy had just got out of, he just survived a grizzly bear attack.
Holy
dude
shit.
Dude was bleeding. His arm was fucked up. He had blood running down his face. His bear spray kind of worked, but not really. He got on the ground and covered his head and survived it. It went away after it burned enough, I guess, because he had sprayed it. He's like, okay, going to the hospital. Be careful out here. I'm like, damn, dude, you lucky as shit.
Dude, I just sent Landon a reel that it said, like, 3.6% of grown men think they could fist fight a grizzly bear.
And then
it shows this lady putting a snack on a stick and holding it up, and the grizzly bear stands up behind the cage.
7 foot tall.
At least, dude. It looked like 10 feet tall.
Dude, one smack.
It's over.
You can see it. They're going to eat you up. Like, I mean,
they're,
dude,
the perfect killing machine for humans.
Exactly.
We can't outrun them. We can't outswim them. Mm-mm. We can't climb them. Nope. It's it. You're at their mercy.
That's it. And I don't, like I said, you know, these people are absolutely delusional. These, like the grizzly bear guy.
Oh, yeah.
They literally ate him and his wife, and he thought he could live with them because he did. No, dude. They're just tolerating you for a minute.
That's it.
They will always end up killing you.
It's so terrible.
Every time. Like, I saw the same thing with another guy who raised, thought he could, friends with a bear. Oh, we bonded. And his brother goes out there and tries to take a picture, and the bear stands up, and he's like, smile. And then that bear, like, starts sniffing, got his neck. It's over. Yeah. He bled out 2 minutes later.
Well, you know, George Foreman died. I'm sure you thought about me.
Yeah, that's right. Damn, hey, that's right.
Yeah. I just have been seeing stories about him.
I forgot about
and
that.
And back in his young days, when he was a mean mother effer, he was raising lions or tigers. And he said, it was like, had quotes of him telling a story, said that he thought he could manhandle them and show them who was dominant.
No.
And then one of his friends came over one day, and the lion was acting like it was, like, he was saying, it's attacking me. And he's like, show him who's boss. And he stepped in to show him, and the damn thing got him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no more. He said, I raised that thing since it was a cub.
It does not matter.
And it did not matter. When it switched, it switched.
People associate everything with our dogs. And dogs have been domesticated for thousands of years.
Yes.
It's not
thousands of
thing.
Years, dude.
These were wolves that would, now their ancestor would still fuck you up.
Yep.
You cannot take a baby animal and act like it's a dog. It is not.
Mm-mm.
You can take it out of the wild. You can't take the wild out of the animal, though, period. At some point, you will get fucked up.
Yeah.
Every time. There's been so many stories with some of those documentaries, like the chimps that
yeah.
they think they're so, they're family.
It's
no.
horrible, man.
Stop it.
When they snap,
it's over. It's over. And then they have to kill him.
And then
they got to kill him anyway.
These dumbass, sorry if this offends you, these dumbass reptile lovers who get huge snakes and huge, like they'll get baby snakes and baby crocodiles, and then they get out of hand size-wise, and they release them out in the Everglades. And they're ruining it down there, man.
That's why there's we talked about it before. That's why we have chimps in Florida now.
That's right. That skunk ape and everything.
All that, exactly. Yep, the skunk ape started because of that.
But
so Bigfoot in Florida all of a
dude,
sudden.
Listen, I love just bouncing these things around. So this call-in show is going to be
Oh, I know.
Right up my alley.
I'm ready to start it. We got to figure out a plan.
Where you just throw out something and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, because we want to go like full live stream like we always have, but have it. And I'm going to try to get some like proper like graphics and transitions and get everything on the screen right so we can see the caller when they pop in.
We'll have a link where
you just go link and join. And you get, we'll do a test run where you get 5 or 7 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to talk about within reason, obviously.
I love it.
We got the mute button ready to kick your ass off.
That's right.
Can't say no stupid shit because we're not getting banned.
That's right.
But that's going to be fun.
It really will be.
Get to hang out live. It'll be live streaming to another degree, you know, the next level, because the chat will now also be hearing this person talking.
That's right.
And they
it'll be more interacting.
Exactly. So we're going to have fun with that. We got to figure out exactly what we want to do, when we'll start it. We'll do a test run.
I love it.
We'll do a test run and get it. Because the reason is I need the computer over here.
Okay.
I need a setup where I can see everything. They can still see us and... where I can control everything. So maybe that means another computer that I don't know.
It's not like as easy as a wireless mouse and keyboard.
I could if I can see.
And the monitor, extra monitor over.
This setup won't work because I can't see over here. So if I was close enough to see and everything clearly, or extend those monitors kind of like we did with that laptop, won't worth a shit. But I need to control this.
I see. It's doable, but it's going to take work. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to figure out a setup, or like I said, a separate streaming PC would be great. That costs a little bit of money, but we'll figure it out and we'll start something soon because I want to do it. We got to get back to this, you know, fun shit and like I said, living again.
That's it. We had a long talk downstairs.
Yeah,
we'll let y'all in on it one day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, we'll figure that out. Well, maybe we'll plan something for next couple weeks or, I don't know, maybe a trial run.
Look, man, the funny thing is, as much as I bitch about getting old and we talk about getting old and everything, we've known these guys so long now that they're all getting old with us.
That's right.
Like, dude. You know.
Yeah, think about that. We got a 10-year-old family.
We do.
I mean, at least 10 years. And, yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's 10 for you for sure.
Yeah.
It's at least 8 or 9 for me.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking about Carol the other day, man. That pops in my head from time to time.
It's just
crazy. But, yeah. We need to keep it going. And it's just fun. And then, you know, look, the problem is, you know, it's hard to juggle all that, especially getting older with other things going on with work, all that shit as well. But, you know, I had a little bit more freedom back then, obviously, because that was all I focused on a little too early. But that kind of happened because, you know, IT shit that I hated. But
we missed our mountain trip this year.
We did.
Hope to revive that.
Yeah, that's been actually... Mizuma said that the other day, actually. We got to get back to the Andes of North Carolina.
Yes, we do.
Because Nat keeps complaining. Nat saying, this ain't real mountains. Which is just the Uori Mountains. Fun fact, though, with Uori, but the oldest mountain chain in the world.
That's pretty wild, ain't it?
And it's right here, 30 minutes up the road. And they are gorgeous, and they're really low. But there's some high spots still, too, but they're not like the Andes. They're not sharp and pointy anymore.
No.
But there's lots of gold, and that's because they're wore down. So, anyway, that's a pretty cool little fun fact.
It is.
Like, North Carolina has so much in every direction.
And every time you've said that, I've said this part, the New River is the second oldest river in the world to the Nile. Like, it's been carbon dated, however they do that shit. And it and the Nile flow south and north. That is so crazy that those two oldest rivers flowed like that.
Yep, a lot of history here. And that's what these, you know, treasure hunts and all that stuff comes down to is just, you know, and this is just one man's story. That's what I mean. Everybody's got a story.
Dude. Everybody's got a story.
Everybody. And this one guy, Forrest Fan, created this thing. And now it's going to continue with this new guy who's hidden another treasure, this... over $1 million again, real fucking treasure.
And he's, and as long as, knock on wood, he's young.
Oh, yeah.
So it don't matter how long this takes. He's around and he'll be able to give hints. And
Yeah, well, we'll see what he does.
Yeah, we'll see how he handles
it. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Because this, it, like his website's up, this just started like 3 or 4 days ago. So I've already read the poem. Of course, I have no idea what he's talking about because I don't know that area. It's all, the only clue was.
I think I've got it memorized. The,
please tell me that again. You were so close on the first one. But yeah, it's just the only clue was Western United States.
Again.
Again.
Bastard.
Now, what does Western mean? You know, that's, true. Again, that's, you know, I don't know where he's from. I think, I want to say it was Texas.
That's what I felt like.
Anyway, we'll figure it out. But anyway, check that out. If you like that kind of stuff, you know, we yeah. talked about this before. This goes into more detail. And I like how they did the families and followed the 4 or 5 different groups and families around through their experience. Now, you got to think.
It was awesome.
There was another 345,000 whatever mm-hmm. people that did have the same type of stories probably some not as long as and right. deep. But, yeah, I mean, everybody's got a story. And I'll tell you what, listening to his interviews and reading some of those articles in the in his book, The Thrill of the Chase, is worth it alone. Kind of like you're writing, you know.
Thank you.
Now this is his. He was an older guy, been through a lot in wars.
I just started back. I told Chris, guys.
Right. Yeah.
So for you guys that give a crap, I have.
I've been trying to tell him for years.
I'm going to. Been talking to my kids about it.
This is what I told James before. If you finish this one thing,
yeah.
you will start finishing everything you start.
I struggle
that bucket
with
that. List.
As will, you all that know,
bucket list will be, you'll start checking them.
Yes. I'm going to do this, dang it.
Yeah. Even look, self publishing is easy. You just got to get the writing done.
I got to get the writing done.
That's it. That's all you got to do. I'll help you with the other shit.
I know. I'm already planning it.
So that won't be a problem. We'll get Urtas.
Hey, Chris, look what I did.
We'll get Urtas to get a cover going.
Dude.
Or we can have, I got another company.
I've already got the idea.
I got another company
for
that too.
So
yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it right here. We're gonna unbox it, or you can unbox it.
I can't wait
because there's nothing like that feeling. Even if you never sell a copy,
exactly.
Obviously, you're gonna
sell a
few copies, but yeah,
I don't
unboxing that book. But all righty, well, I guess we got to get going.
Yep.
We do have to. I have to work one more day before I'm off for a month or close to it. So I'm gonna be doing some camping, catching up on shit. I didn't even show my garage. It's clean.
Bull crap.
I'll show you. I promise you. Anyway, yeah, did a test run with a camper today. Drove it around here and checked the brakes on it, and the brake app works great. So,
man.
Got the
What about the cameras and stuff?
Cameras are awesome. See everything clearly. The sway bar. It's the, what do you call it? The load balancing. What do you call it? Hitch.
Mm.
That works. Feels comfortable. That thing pull it fine.
Oh, so
I did
exciting.
A couple circles around. I was like, you could literally just press this button on your phone and it engages the brakes and stops your whole vehicle without
Holy
pressing the
crap.
I was testing all that.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to get out there and I'm going to do some fishing here in a week and a half, I guess it is.
Film
gold
some of
panning.
It.
Yeah, I might. She actually asked me, they said, why didn't you ever do the, because we watched a couple gold panning vlogs and stuff. Why didn't you? I was like, well, I wasn't into YouTube then.
No, that would have been fun.
That's a lot more to haul.
It is.
It's a lot more to haul down there, set up cameras and.
But that.
It would be cool.
Yeah. Y'all would enjoy that.
I could at least carry, use a phone, use my phone.
Yeah.
iPhones are just as good as any other fucking camera now. But yeah, maybe document some of that sometime. Be cool. But yeah, ready
you
to get back
out. You think it's worth going back to that place where we were doing it?
Yeah, that's
the exact spot
where we went. Not that exact spot because I dug out that hole so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's some flood gold back in there, but not. It'll be fine. But up from that spot, yep,
dude.
Oh yeah, I screamed like a little girl, when I pulled out my first picker nugget that I could pick
up.
Oh,
I'll bet.
Because it was like, oh shit, we started getting thick, chunky stuff,
dude.
We were down there. My ear was in the water. Digging, so that hole was, you know, at least that deep.
Hey, oldest mountain range.
Baker.
There's some old ass gold there waiting.
There's still a lot of old gold there. And Baker was in his swim trunks.
Oh.
That too. He was a little younger. In his swim trunks. He just said, fuck it, and dived, got in.
Man.
Because we were in that hole so deep. But it, like any deeper than that, we can't do anything without a dredge. You know?
Yeah.
But when you find, we're going to get up. We're going to get back in there. We're going to find some gold. And I'll take some picture of that. So I will be doing a lot of panning.
I need to go back with you. I actually brought that up to the kids and said, Chris is going to go camp, and we could go drag our tents and camp out around his camper.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah, we're just, you know, like I said, we'll take we can take as many trips as we want. We're just going to take the maiden voyage fairly close. And just
I think it's a good idea.
And we're going to go out there and do some panning, do some fishing, and got all my new
potted meat and crackers.
Yeah, exactly. No shit, we got everything in there now. Yeah, but I'll be grilling. You know, I won't even use the griddle much. I'll be on the over the fire.
What about the outside? Don't you have an outside setup?
Yeah, the griddle.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, I'll be over the fire if I can be.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you just put the thing over the fire, man. That's gonna be the cool part. But that's always fun. It's always fun just sitting out there and cooking over a fire and just fishing and sitting by a lantern.
When we used to go, that was when we had our best time travel, alien conversations.
Oh yeah,
that lasted all night.
Relativity and nerd.
Yeah,
shit.
Breaking out all these damn timelines. Well, this would have to do this and this and this. And
that's what we got to get Ho back on. We were talking about her earlier talking.
Got to get them back on that.
See if he'll wake up. See, anyway, it's a different story.
Man, dude, this turned out to be a fun podcast. I hope that it comes across.
Yeah, I know. We don't have to stick by one topic.
I hope
long.
It comes across because I've enjoyed this.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I love these, and I would love us to be able to take off a little bit. I always hate to go back to that, but you got to make money doing it, and we could just do it all the time. Dude, I would do a daily show.
I would too.
If we had, if we made money to pay the bills, and I wouldn't, I
there
would
was
absolutely
a way
do it
to
every
do
day.
It. And dude, my life would be, I don't know, so much more fulfilled, I think.
Yes.
I'd feel.
Yes, the purpose of it. Yeah. Everything. That's what I'm saying.
Because everybody, the goal for everybody is to have a job, you know what I mean, that doesn't feel like work. And my whole life, I tried to do that. And because I did that, I kind of neglected some of the other things in life, like a retirement plan and everything.
I
took these cool ass jobs that, you know, paid me cash under the table and stupid shit like that. And so, you know, I find myself at 51 trying to
play
catch
and
up.
We're trying to play catch up and get that nest egg going for when we're a little older and can't. Anyway, that's
if I would have done all that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could go, okay, I'm on a YouTube.
It's like I always compare, like my buddy Baker, who I used to go every year with gold pan, and we'd camp for a week at a time. He did it right, dude. He not only military from the time he was 17 up until 50, and the guard, because he did 20-something years active.
Oh, yeah.
Also, simultaneously, in the sheriff's department as a deputy, and he retired at 50.
Dude has a place
at the beach. He has had two campers so far. He's already sold them because he's doing his youngest son's already like 21 in the Eagle Scouts. He's now been a scout master for both his sons now, fully retired. He's like, I called him up the other day. I can't talk to him in years. We talked for about an hour. He's like, let's go. I'm free now. Fuck it. I'm not in law enforcement anymore. We'll dig in the bank. I don't give a shit.
Man.
He was always paranoid about where he dug out there.
Yeah.
Because if a ranger comes up and get in trouble, he didn't want to lose his shit back then, obviously being a deputy and everything, but he don't care now. I mean, not that we would ever mess anything up. I mean, but you know what I mean? He was paranoid about, because you can be in the creek and not in the banks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah. I mean, he did it right. He's it, you know. But rest of us trying to play catch up. So
we're going
to
be all right. It's
we're going to figure it out.
It's
we'll just figure it out. But, you know... Once it's figured out, you feel a little bit better.
That's right.
You got to get
that's that right, man.
But because, I mean, look, I enjoy kind of sort of what I do. I enjoy what I do. I don't enjoy some of the aspects of it, like I told you before.
Yep.
And that's the thing. It's not fulfilling in that way. And, you know, I can't do it forever. You've heard me crack since I started this job. My voice is cracking.
Yep.
I talk for a living on YouTube.
You talk for a living. But it has changed you, because it used to be me sounding more like you are right now.
Yeah.
Because I noticed about 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, your voice started cracking.
Starts cracking. Yep. And that's what happens every day. Start middle, end of day. Yep. And I'm sitting there, you know, all trying to clear my throat. But, yeah, so that can't last forever. But I could talk for a podcast or a live stream once, you know, instead of all day long.
Yes.
Every single day. So, anyway, all right. Well, it's midnight. We got to get out of here. Some people got to work.
This is a good long one.
Yeah, we got a little, what are we at?
I love it.
Oh, right. That's only an hour and a half. That's not usual.
That's cool.
Anyway, we'll figure out something, and yeah, we'll do a test run. We'll set up something and try it out. Get a couple callers in here, or we say in callers, it'll be like there'll be a link. You know, we'll set up. I'll set everything set up. You go to a link, and it'll be like a Discord or no, I'm sorry, a StreamYards link where people can join up from their phones or their PCs or whatever, so we can see you.
Yeah.
And then we'll actually have callers and have the live chat and the whole thing. And go from there. We'll let y'all control what the hell we talk about. Within reason. Obviously, we can't do stupid shit. But anyway. All right, we good to go?
I think so.
All right. Well, yeah, look out for that. I'll do some announcement or whatever on when we figure something out on YouTube, on the little community channels and on social media. Follow us all there. It's all in the description of everything there. So look out for that. And we'll get that done soon and figure out when Dunkin' Egg's coming out.
Yes.
All righty. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Thanks for watching. And we'll let it.
Oh.
I can't do it anymore.
Fade to black.